Our School Days by Patrick J. Duffy first appeared in the 1956 edition of All Moore's Almanac. I walked along a road today and it made me feel so glad. It brought me back the happy days when I was just a lad. It is the road I went to school with boyhood friends galore, and though we thought there were hard times then, I wish they'd come once more. I kept on walking just to meet the scholars of today, and thought I'd hear in Gaelic tongue the words they'd use at play. So I sat down by the lawn stile and hoped they'd come on high. Instead they all came round the bin astride our make of bite, and each one had a passenger on the carrier or the bar, and those that did not come on bikes waved out from some kind parent's motor cab. How neatly are they dressed just now, with heads of wavy hair. A change you'd know from our school days, we had it cut quite there. They wore sandals on their feet with ankle socks to match. They had biros on their breasts and some wristlet watch. When we were young, we wore strong boots with nails and tips complete, and when the weather got warm, we tramped on our bare feet. Now the roads are made to suit the cars, why you'd hardly see them pass, and still with this terrific speed, oh, we're often late for mass. I know some folks who cross the fields a mile or two as well. Aye, they're in and have the rosary said along before the bell. So now, dear sir, I must conclude and wish you all the best. I'm glad you never spared the rod. It made us stand the test. So may the good God bless you and keep you in his care. May he bless all teachers. That is my final prayer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And next we have Jerry Buckley.
Now, I don't like the microphone, by the way. And when they came to the court, Paul Goldkeep, you know, the age, he looked a little master in the 50s, he described the microphone that time as being like a turkey's head. This is a poem that was written by an old friend of mine, Jack Maugham was his name. And you know, when I was asked to sing the Daisy Stone back in June of 2003, I raised a few eyebrows because I described him as untamed. The reason being, of course, he was a self-taught man and he ignored restrictions. Now, I was going to do a different poem, but I changed my mind. I'm going to do another one instead. And this would be a classic example of the type of man he was. You all know the poem that Wordsworth wrote about the daffodils.
Yeah.
Now, do any of you know what the bucolon is?
Yeah.
Or the ragwort?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, Jack made his own poem out of that, and it's the blooming bucolon by Jack Maugham, with apologies to William Wordsworth. I wandered lone like hawk in flight, as skims your glens and lawns, when all at once I saw a sight. Field of blooming bucolons. Below the trees beside Boreen, such floral splendor seldom seen. I got an urge, I don't know why, and I got out the old forest side. Like Tamerlane long, long ago, I sport that ragwort head and toe, and for that deed had no remorse, tis poison to the cow and horse. I thought that night I could I sleep, the perfect food for goats and sheep. The busy bee, it may seem funny, from ragwort flowers makes lovely honey. And wide awake at crack of dawn, all plain to see without a fuss, just like that blooming book alone, some good and bad in all of us.
Next we have one of our regulars, Jennifer Matthews.
Did you ever have one of those dreams where you woke up but you can't move? It's terrifying. What's the waking dream, something like that. Actually, it's the title of the poem, oddly enough. Waking dream. So it's a jumping off point anyways. Right. Every 7 years, I become a paper doll in my sleep. Joints freeze into neat corners. My mouth a tidy, tight line. under big teacup eyes. My room becomes a child's diorama, perfect impostors representing everything real inside. The dresses are obedient in their closet. The mirror sits opaque on the wall. Convinced I haven't quite dropped, the waiting game begins. Screenless, gripless, and there stands control, the figure of a man at the foot of my bed, stiff as a shotgun.
And next we have Julie Field.
Shelter. No bus was due for an hour or so, but there he sat, alone, unaware of the gawking eyes spraying him with pity. Through car windows, car owners sat comfortably in afternoon traffic. He fumbled with a bag of chips as he tried to balance on the bus shelter bench, a seat designed to deter such use, a nasty plan to make one's calf muscles whinge and one's backbone weak if sat at that angle for longer than what is socially acceptable. From under his hood glowed a swollen face, unhealthy, unhappy. Although his features and physique boasted a young man in his prime, his expression was that of a 90-year-old survivor who had seen too much, who had lost his faith in human nature, demonising the race. A first bruise had been stamped above his brow, confirming his identity as troublesome. Did he get enough love? Did his mother make midnight sprints in his room as he cried out from nursery nightmares? Did she hold his head to her sweet warm breast until the monsters went home? Or was he awoken by monsters from his lullaby realm to be spat at, cursed at, kicked and punched? Did the teachers see his hungry eyes at lunch? Demons peered to his mother to senses and self-worth. Will the hands of time offer him hope? Will the world offer him a comfortable chair?
And then we have Catherine.
So I'm turning 40 in like 11 years or so. The death of you. When mine dies, I want you to hold awake in its honor. Bake some fairy buns, but taste the mixture before they reach the oven. Play with toy robots, torment the cat, capture some wasps in a jar. Then go down to the woods and fell some trees and let them dry for a couple of weeks and build a bonfire so tall the whole neighborhood can see it. Pour over maps and atlases, read some yellow magazines, return to the golden age of geography, fall in love with some girls from around the way, play football, reluctantly go to school, don't fit in, but make sure you learn to tie your tie well. Masturbate yourself into a state of near blindness and leave yourself clean. Fall in love with some girls from around the other way. Drink cider in a bush. Smoke some Johnny Blues and make out like you have a clue. Get a part-time job and get paid. Smoke some weed, kiss some girls and get laid. Drink some whiskey and coke. Fail all of your exams. Fall in love with young ladies from inside a few Hollywood movies. Experiment with other drugs, psychedelics, pharmaceuticals, and class A's. Drop out of some colleges and universities, but be sure to sleep with as many people as you can along the way and feel neither love nor hate. And when you finish with all of that, reach into the back of my closet and dust off the old Paul Daniels magic kit, the one with the red cup and the magic rope, and conjure for me, if you could, the two that got away. Bring them here, into this very room, and tell them that I wrote them a poem called The Death of Youth, and ask them, if you wouldn't mind, that when they finish reading it, to scratch away the text, using either their apartment key or a dulled, half-forgotten piece of jewelry. and imagine on the blank page what could it be.
Thank you very much, and happy birthday 11 years in advance. Next we have Pamela Edgerton.
I didn't actually know there was a poetry thing going on tonight, so I'm just glad I always carry a notebook with stuff in it. I never write anything with structure. This was my one attempt, which is a very fiddly French form of poetry that I forget the name of, but all the stanzas linked together kind of interestingly. And this was after I read an article about scientists being able to learn about other planets by looking at the light that reflects off of them. It's called Earthshine. The light that hits the Earth and then the moon carries, bears proof that we live from the one to the other. And then the moon carries echoes back to us from the one to the other, imprints of our chemical makeup. Echoes back to us, to people separated by ocean. Imprints of our chemical makeup are encoded and distorted and decoded. To people separated by ocean, all messages are encoded and distorted and decoded, seen through a narrow telescope. All messages are like stars, seen through a narrow telescope, dead before their images can reach us. Are like stars bound together by more than gravity, dead before their images can reach us, carried through vast, dark oceans of nothing? Bound together by more than gravity, the light that hits the Earth, carried through vast, dark oceans of nothing, bears proof that we live.
Thank you, Pamela. And next we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Susan. This is called Coming Home from Battle. You didn't take time to come back this time. The hunger of death slicing through your overfed system. The vain glorious gift poses my gift to a local unbroken circle. Place the money on the table and your excuse at the door. For you have brought your honor price to me to satisfy my money lust and adorn the treasure of this beautiful massacre. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. And next we have Niall Harriott.
Chronicles of Hibernia. This is, I did this before here, another version of this. It's based completely on Joseph O'Connor's Reasons to be Cheerful, which is on Drive Time and Diaries on the radio in 2009. And I just thought I'd give it a Cork twist, flavour of the rebel county, and update it. So it's updated at least till the beginning of this year anyway. So a lot of it is Joe O'Connor's words. I've just put in a load of stuff myself. Lately we're worried, we need advice. We were boomtown rats, now poor as church mice. This budget is arseways, spares the top bracket, no leadership there, and the maths don't back it. The elite care more about pleasing the market and their feckin' Mercosia and where to park it. Job cuts on the Troika are making us fearful. But despite it all, there's reasons to be cheerful. The Hayloft, Paul Casey and O'Vale, still pulling the divil by the tail. Johnny Spillane on the lobby bar, a half of Murphy's Rory Gallagher on guitar. Van the Man's Moondance, Seamus Heaney, Munster Rugby, the Opera House, Puccini. All fellas on pubs boozing and blathering, the great Frank O'Connor and Enright's The Gathering, the disc of Elvis sing blue suede shoes when there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. Jerry Murphy's poems on Bank Holiday Monday, Cork and Kilkenny and Crocus on Sunday, Colonel Creedence plays, Occupy Nama, is this a year of major drama? Dawn over Allies, Neil Tobin, Cork dry wit, Sean Keane's Skibbereen. You may travel far from your own native home, but where would you find a Kavanagh poem? Sweet treasure for all, if only we want it. A riverside walk we take for granted. No need for hurry, no need for fury. Reasons to be cheerful by Ian Jury. You can play the fool or play guitar or Jimi Hendrix, Bob Dylan, Johnny Marr. We may as well read since books can be cheap. They can't stop us reading, either smile or weep. Binchy or Banville, whatever you feel. Or Fuelon, or Phoenix, or the great Brian Field. So it ain't all bad, there's reasons to chuckle. Des Bishop trying the couple of focal. The banks would give you a pain in the belly, but there's always our comedians and Republic of Telly. So the second government is out of touch, but whoever's in office don't matter much. Recession, depression, the figures, the facts, but there's stuff they can't touch, stuff they can't tax. They would if they could, but they can't, so they're peaked. They're hurried, they're worried, they're phased, they're freaked. Our politicians now are irrelevant fellows. Might as well play Martha and the Vandellas. Soon it'll be summer with dancing in the streets, and we'll still be here when they lose their seats. When our grandparents were young, there were hungry years, slums in the cities, immigrant tears. So the boom's now a bust, but we ain't going back. Don't get depressed, it's not all that black. Yeah, we live in a country where it rains and it pours, but we have floods, not tsunamis, no quakes, no more wars. We may well have unpayable national debt, but the spooks don't waterboard us, at least not yet. There's Crane Lane, Monster Lit, the Lark in the Park, cheese in photo, beach fires in the dark. As president now, we have an activist and a bard. To zip the lip, he may find it quite hard. Now we're not up there with your Norways, your Swedens, and other such comparative Edens. Freedom came from Collins and his men, but we've made a balls of it again and again. The troubles are over, there's peace in our homes, and Martin McGuinness is writing poems. And the Reverend Ian, he swallowed his pride and showed a friendly, more feminine side. The polls are going, there's a strain on the purse, but all things considered, it could be worse. We're a shook-up, mixed-up, post-Tiger nation, sorely in need of some consolation. But just look around, you'll see it's all here. A kiss at midnight on Dingle Pier. Our loved ones, our families, our kids, our mates. The National Library's exhibition on Yeats. Feeling depressed? Get up, we're fighters. There's a bardic James Harper and the Bantry Writers. Well, actually, that was written for Penny Bantry. We sold the family silver and Ireland's half bust, but we're starting to fight for a society that's just. There's the Jazz Festival, don't be downhearted. And here's to Bertie and Cowan, and they departed. So twist off the cork, pour the wine out, here's a toast for the wild warm south.
Thank you, Niles. Thank you. And next we have Simon Deasy. Just two quick poems about the same thing. So the first poem is called Still Life. Once an unknown artist painted a picture on a still, bright white canvas, and fresh eyes and innocent forms having come unaware of themselves, as if they had forgotten that they'd been there all along somewhere. And they grew first into a flame, and then into a sunflower that dripped yellow light upon the artist's sleeve, while the white of that light's intent wondered upon the merit of its reprieve. And then desire seeped in, coating itself with whatever it met, while the shallow sea green of intuition slowed the world's turning, causing panicked burning of any and all secrets about the sovereignty of our souls. And a coat of clumsy growth fell silent and blushed when called by name, until it turned back again to call upon purple, became claimed unwillingly and of its own will, while ill-red revived its spirits and rushed and crushed trees in its teeth, gleefully, having realized that it was the one and the only that had never not been. And then, like a disbelieved dream or a soul sold too soon, a final stroke fell, with the titanic weight of a child's first sigh or my one true love's last goodbye. Thanks. This is the other poem. It's called It May Be. It's about the same subject. it may be that you are not mine to lift again. It may be that you are not mine to lift again in any way, even simply physically, to up upon a countertop, to where you could say to someone for the first time, I love you, through involuntary words that to this day the recipient could not find a way to forget. It may be that you are not mine to lift again in any way. It may be that you are not mine to love again. But maybe love is, and maybe true love is something above love, something that will not be denied, something that must be, that will never give up on you and me. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. And our last reader tonight, the open mic, is Carl Holden.
Hey, Jim. I kind of have a story behind this couple of pieces here. I met this girl. Sounds like that. And she's amazing. she's kind of blew my mind a bit, and I tried to chat her up to the medium of freestyle rap, and that didn't go very well. Basically, one of the lines I used was, I was smashed up at the time. She had to remove me by the next day, and this is not nice. One of the lines I used was, all I want to do is to see you be happy, because I think you're cuter than Thumper and Bambi. That's basically it. But then, a couple of days later, she sent me a poem on Facebook, and I sent her a poem back about the poem. She sent me a poem back about the poem about the poem. We've been doing this for about 2 weeks now, and I've never written anything better. So, the first poem that she sent me back about the poem, I wrote her a poem back to it, and it went like this. It was, and I think, can I beat that? I know I can't, because poetry is feeling, and that brought a smile. A smile that you could hide an aardvark in and still find room for a zebra. An A through Z on the red squares and the corners, the ones with the hedgehog cornice that say triple word score. It's a smile you could drape on a day and still find room in for tomorrow afternoon, which is when I will be in touch, because I'm working early tomorrow. And then we're going to have to fast forward about a week. To yesterday, actually. I'm going to open my pocket. There's a backstory to all of this stuff. This references various things that I'm not going to get into. Let's just not go there. But I thought the hill, the dotted distance, I alight and find the body of a beggar man that deliquesces into dust. I dig his grave and drag his hearse so he can disperse his life into an apple tree. It works its roots into his shroud, and grows its fruits into the cloud, and is more tasteful than the chips of green glass or statue of an angel. In his pocket I find a nub of a pencil, and the blueprints to a masterpiece, the till roll of a lifetime. I will take them with me when I leave him, and I will honour them, pay the bearer upon receipt the sum of simplicity, for he is now at rest. I leave myself there to vanish into myself like water into sand, and I fly at the speed of thought, my deeds brought an end sought to a battle fought in which both sides surrendered each unto the other in themselves. I flow to where I know a fault line grows an outstretched hand to a cavern where a river shows its colours to the walls. I feel closer here at the heart of things. I will always come back. I walk to the crack and sit at the base. I know this place, and it knows me. I am tempted to leave myself here too, but I know if I put my heart in the fissure, it would break under pressure, so at length I leave the river, and my heart in its cage to stay at ease and grow, so one day it may find the strength to be released. I have nothing but complexity to add to your simplicity, and I wonder could I ever elicit the felicity you seek. I am not weak. I have seen how strong I could be, and I'm working towards it. I have a way to go. A distance, yet to travel. Thank you.